This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Wonderful to be with you from Clearwater. It's always special to be here. We've been here many years with our program, both from the midday show and now the morning show. And obviously love conducting the interviews in particular. I mean, honestly, that's the main reason we come down, because it gives us access to some notable fills. Tomorrow on the show, we'll have Kyle Schwarber and Charlie Manuel on the program, perhaps some others as well. But those two for sure. Today on the show, 9:30, Dave Dombrowski, and coming up in a half an hour, Phillies manager Rob Thompson, who obviously is entering a very important season in his tenure as the Phil skipper. There are some that think he needs to either win a World Series or have, at the very least, a very deep run. And I do think a deep run would keep him around. I think it would be ridiculous, for instance, if they got to the World Series and lost, that he would be let go. But I'll tell you this, if they lost in the first round again, now that's a different story. And that's possible, especially when you consider, you know, there's probably, I'll just take a stab at it and say, over a 50% chance the Phillies will be in the first round, because with the Phillies, Mets, and Braves, that's a hard division to win. Very, and that's, you know, that's how you can get the bye. I mean, James, who's favorite? Is it the Braves?
So the Braves are a slight favorite. It's really close between the three. All three teams are really close. And it's a fascinating point you bring up, because I agree with you about Thompson. First round, it could be dangerous,
yeah,
but
it could be real dangerous.
At the same time, has there ever been a manager in the history of baseball who made the playoffs his first four seasons and got fired? Probably not.
I would guess not.
The way baseball works, I would guess highly unlikely.
Yeah. But to be
fair, it's a unique situation.
Well, hold on. But the expansion of the playoffs makes the achievement of being a sixth seed, which they were a few years ago, that makes the playoffs less impressive than being a sixth seed when you used to not make the playoffs.
Sure.
So, for what that's worth.
A little change in that. That's true.
All right, 215. But look, they flat out kicked ass last year in the regular season. Now, not from June to September, but enough in April and May that the totality of it was a 95-win team, which was that's a tremendous season, obviously. 95 wins is great. Obviously, you wanted to see him do more in the postseason. All right, 215-592-9494. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie. Let's get to the phones right now. Talk to Salvador calling from Coatesville. Good morning, Salvador.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you guys doing? Long time no talk to.
It's great to hear you, Salvador. I personally am outstanding. The sun is coming up. We're in Clearwater. We're looking out. Oh, my gosh. Looking out across this gorgeous, gorgeous green grass of the field. It really is pristine right now.
And Salvador, I'm going to ask a sun question after your phone call that I thought of yesterday while we were on the plane, and it may get me in trouble, but I'm going to ask it in a moment. Go ahead, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, it might be a
little science corner with Joe DeCamera.
It might be a doozy. It might be reasonable. I'll pose it in a moment. All right, Salvador, what do you got?
I wanted to call and share something with you guys. I called James and told him, but I actually proposed at the parade.
Oh. Wow.
Great work, Salvador.
Nice.
Yeah. Congratulations. So wait, what'd she say?
It's an important follow-up.
She didn't think about it, but we did it right in front of Saquon, man. And we're actually getting married at Ron Jaworski's his golf course in Downingtown, at Downingtown Country Club.
Sure.
Yeah, we went there last night and did a tasting. But yeah, no, I wanted to call and share that with you guys. But anyway.
Amazing job. Great work.
Yeah.
And congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you, man. It was awesome. It was awesome. We got down there at 4 o'clock in the morning. But anyway,
wow.
On to the Phillies. So I think we should stick with Schwarber. I don't think we should change something. You know, we got to the World Series with him as our leadoff hitter. I don't think we should change it because I don't trust Trey Turner. I don't trust him, man. Like I don't want to have to come to another standing ovation to get him back going. Like I think we should
I don't think we'll do that again.
You never know. It's Philadelphia. Anything can happen. You don't know. You know,
a standing boo this time, maybe turn it around.
What was that?
I said a standing boo this time. Maybe we try a different tack.
Not good. Oh, man. Come on, man.
Yeah, Salvador, I don't trust him either. I mean, look, to James's point, he's probably better than we perceive because we judge him in part based on the contract. But I got to tell you, those at-bats in October were a fiasco.
Maybe we do organize a standing boovation when it's all said and done.
Boovation
is strong. Yeah, the standing boovation send-off when
I would rather try Bryson
but let's hope we don't get there.
At leadoff. I'd rather try Bryson Stott before
I like that idea a lot.
No, yeah, I'd go with Trey before Stott, but I'd go with Schwarber before both. I need to see Stott prove it before I'm ready to hand him that.
Like, I got a good nickname for you guys, man.
Go for it.
Big Stick Nick.
that's a good one.
Going with Big Stick Nick or?
Yeah, that's a good one. Okay. All right, speaking of nicknames, Big Play Slay is certainly a really good nickname. Darius Slay made a bunch for the Eagles. Maybe he'll make more. Probably not, but maybe. Let's listen to Darius Slay talking yesterday on FS1.
Why do you say probably not when he says he wants to try to make it work?
Because if the money's right.
Yeah, I still think it's below 50% chance. That's what
I don't.
Probable is just above or below 50. That's all probable is, above or below. In this case, I think it's below. That's why I think it's probable he'll be gone. But we'll see. It's certainly possible he stays. And clearly what he said yesterday on FS1, he wants to stay. Let's listen to Darius Slay.
All things being equal, because I want to hear it here first. The money's equal. Everything is equal. Where does Darius Slay want to play next year?
The money equal and everything is equal. It's Philly, for sure. Mm. You know, it could be whatever. You know what I'm saying? As long as the money nice. If anything, if Philly doing what I want to do, we in Philly again. It's my first time actually seeing the free agent market, if I ever get to it. If I don't get to it. But I never been a free agent before, so I don't even know how it really gonna work.
That's wild.
I was intrigued by him saying if I get to it. Which
I thought that was the most interesting line in that whole thing.
Yeah. Now I will say this.
Which the Eagles is interesting because that would mean resigning.
But I wonder, and I don't know this rule, if he's I don't think they've technically released him yet because it's a post-June 1 designation. So maybe they're still allowed to negotiate with him and have exclusive rights until Monday?
Oh, yeah, I believe so. I mean, look, he could. I don't think he says if I reach it unless because they're the only team he could negotiate with.
So, John, to your point, I mean, maybe he does stay.
Yeah, that's what he's working toward, I believe.
Well, that's
what the Eagles certainly would hope for. They kept James Bradbury on the team all year last year. We never saw him. This guy can play, and he's also the coach in the meeting room, in the locker room, on the field. Man, Slay was awesome last season, and he can still start in this league. And if he doesn't start here, he'll start somewhere else.
Well, clearly. But you got to pick your spots of who you keep, and there's only so many you can have. So it's complicated. All right, let's get to the Bryce Harper thing. So Bryce yesterday quoted in a Ken Rosenthal article. And, of course, you can join us on all these topics, 215-592-9.
You know, I just want to say something. You keep saying there's only so many you can have.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand that. But I guarantee it's going to be more than what you think.
I don't think so.
Because Howie does a great job with stashing and you know, moving it forward, figuring out a way to reduce Saquon's cap hit by half for this year while paying him an additional, you know, $40 million.
Look, I get that.
That's what Howie does, and sitting around and worrying about, oh, no, we're not going to have enough money to pay the guys we really need. That's crazy.
He's planned for this for 3 years
well,
now.
Well, not really.
I believe guys
play better than they
expected. He didn't plan for Zach Bond.
Yeah, he didn't plan Zach Bond to be $51 million. Yeah. No, I don't think he meant Zach Bond to be $51
million.
You're right.
But he still has it for him because he deserves it and we need him.
But you can't pay every player. Like, at a certain point, it comes back to,
If you asked me 12 months ago, did he think it was more likely that he would re-sign Milt Williams, Josh Sweat, or $50 million?
We've
for
never thought Milton Williams or Josh Sweat would be returning.
No, but a year ago, I would have thought either or both could be back.
I mean, I would have seen them signing Milton Williams a year ago. Actually, signing him then was what they
until they played their price higher than what Philadelphia is likely to pay. That's what just happened. They paid their price higher than
what
Philly allows, and Zach Bond almost did that, but they were able to. They value him so much that they gave an inside linebacker $17 million a year, and that's what I guess they will try to do with Slay. They value certain players. You said you saw Mekhi Becton at the airport.
Yeah. Sure did.
I thought it was possible they would value him because of the confluence between his value to the team and his actual value free agency
wise. Just to be clear, he was on a departing flight. Not an arrival.
How did you not interview him, interrogate him?
If Mekhi is on his way out, I know that Jeff Stoutland and Howie Roseman and company, they've been preparing for this. I know that we got Steen waiting in the wings. I know that they have a plan and that it's going to be okay. It's been better than what I expected in terms of bringing the right guys back, guys that we wanted.
Fair enough. All right, great to be with you. We appreciate you being with us on 94 WIP on this Thursday morning. We broadcast today from Clearwater, home of Philly Spring Training Baseball. Rob Thompson in 10 minutes. Spring training coverage brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka, proud partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. All right, Ree, you get to make the call here. Do you first want to hear Bryce Harper talking about going to the outfield potentially, or my question about the sun?
I want to hear the question about the sun.
The question about the sun was said. All right, microphone was off for a moment. Question about the sun. All right, here's my question about the sun. Now, John, I know that I get myself in trouble when I go into the scientific and the solar elements of, our existence.
Of life, yes.
Of life. I was looking yesterday out the plane as we flew down here. And the sun was, like, shining bright and right on us on the plane. And I thought, isn't that amazing how big the sun looks, knowing that it's very far away?
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, I don't know which is further away from us, the sun or Mars, but I would guess the sun because Mars is the fourth planet and we're the third planet. But I don't know how in between, one, two, and three are. So here are my questions. Here's my main question. How much bigger is the sun than Mars? That we can see it.
Unfathomable.
And we don't see Mars.
And
are we closer to Mars than the sun?
Dude, you could fit like a million Earths in
the sun.
This
is what I'm asking.
You could fit like a million Earths in the sun.
So is that, Ray, that's not such a bad question,
like,
then, right?
It's pretty bad. Think about this way.
That's pretty bad.
Think about it this way.
I mean, I'm just saying I can see the sun. I can't see Mars. Listen, and it makes me say sun must be really big.
You can fit, I think you can fit 1,300 Earths in Jupiter.
Okay.
A million Earths in the sun.
Okay, so a bit big.
Like, infinitely bigger than anything else in the solar system.
See, I don't know what's weirder, the fact that, Joe, that you spent time thinking about this on the plane.
Or James knows it.
Or James knowing it.
Yeah.
That's just,
you know, that Mars is like the sister planet to Earth.
Okay.
They talk about Mars and Earth being somewhat similar in potentially fostering life, but size and things like that, too. And if you know that, like, Mars is our sister.
Okay.
And then the sun is a million times bigger than us. It's probably a lot bigger than Mars, too. I don't know that it's a million times.
So my question wasn't that bad, right? I mean, isn't it interesting, John, if it's further away that we can see it so much?
We all know that the sun is huge.
Well, I'm saying I didn't know how big, and apparently you did. So good for you. Score one for Seltzer, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
That'd make you feel good. All right, let's get to something Bryce Harper said yesterday, and then right back
1.3 million Earths just to get a correct fit in the sun.
That's wild. All right, 215-592-9494. To weigh in on everything we're discussing today, including the Eagles re-signing of Zach Bond. And it's a big deal. It's 3 years. It is $51 million, $34 million guaranteed, more than I expected. All right.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bryce Harper, he talked to Ken Rosenthal recently from The Athletic, and he was quoted as saying this, talking about the possibility of right field, well, outfield, but that would obviously be right field. He said, I talked to the Phillies this offseason about that, meaning moving back, John. I talked to the Phillies this offseason about that, just in case a guy was available at first that we needed to get. I'd be more than open to it if we had a guy like that who is going to change our lineup or change the demeanor of our team. They like me at first base, but I'd go out there to have a guy who was going to play first base and hit 35 or 40 home runs. When Pete Alonso was on the block still, I kind of sat there and was like, hey, why not? When we talked about it, I kind of just reiterated to the Phils and to Scott, meaning Scott Boras, that I'd be willing to move out there if it's going to help us. I love playing first base. It's been great. But if it's going to help us win, I'd go back out there. John, Bryce has taken some heat from some people who think he would not. I was glad to hear him say that.
Sure. I'm very glad to hear him say that. But I'm excited about that idea. You know, too bad it didn't happen. Sure, his flexibility is commendable. I like him as a first baseman.
Well, he's really great at both.
I like him better as a first baseman than as a right fielder.
He was a great right fielder. He had a great arm.
I agree.
Good range.
But I think he gets to be a little more involved. Well, no, I know he gets to be a lot more involved, and I think that over the long haul that will benefit us as a team, that he's more involved in any way. I love that he's so focused on making this team better that he's willing to do whatever it takes, but I think that means first base for
Well, certainly gives Dave season. Yeah, Dave Dombrowski, who we'll talk to at 9:30 today, gives him flexibility for the trade deadline.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, that's important. All right, 215-59, because there have been a lot of people that have doubted
We're
that.
Still funky in the outfield, you know, but I don't feel great about that. I don't know that any Phillies fan feels great about that. So if he needs to move out there, is that this year still potentially? I think so. Potentially after the trade deadline along those lines. Yeah. I don't even know what that would look like, though. I haven't considered the first baseman.
Well, they'd have to sign someone, basically. Yeah. I mean, when I say not sign, they'd have to trade for someone if it's this year. All right, 215-592-9494. Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Make sure you check out Armin's selection of quality one-owner pre-owned vehicles at ArminChevy.com. That's ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. Poll question, are you surprised Zach Bond got so much money? Yes or no? Look, I don't think there's an Eagle fan alive. It doesn't like the fact that the Eagles got Zach Bond back. I'm thrilled they got him back. It was more money than I expected. It was a lot of money, guys. He got $51 million, $34 million guaranteed, and it is going to make it tricky on signing some of these other dudes.
I believe he's now the fifth highest paid linebacker in the NFL.
Does that include edge linebackers?
I don't think it includes rushers, but okay. It's like of all the other linebackers, he is okay. The fifth highest paid linebacker in the
NFL.
They
got paid, and I'm very happy for him. Much like Saquon, when someone, you know, had a – and look, Saquon's road and Zach Bond's road to Philly were very different. Saquon was a star with a bad team. Zach Bond was a guy buried, considered not a good player. For both of them, you just got to be
on a bad team.
On a bad team, yeah. Got to be psyched for them. All right, let's go to the phones. Rob Thompson in about 5 minutes. Mark in Delaware right now. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm hoping you're enjoying the weather down there. I'm kind of jealous. Still stuck up here in the Northeast. So
yeah, it's not too warm. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's warmer than where we were, but, you know, we're not in paradise.
I hear you. Still better than up here. Anyway, I'm excited that they got Zach Bond. I'm kind of surprised at the money that they gave him. I'm not surprised that he got that type of money, but I'm just surprised the Eagles went there.
Well, they clearly didn't want to lose him. There's no question about that. And you know, strategically, the Eagles, it appears, when they could have signed guys during the season, I think they, for team unity, probably chose to not even broach it, is my guess. And you know, a lot of guys' money is going to go up because of that. Because let's be real, Mark, if they had signed Zach Bond in October, it would not have been $51 million.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. So, yeah, they're probably regretting that a little bit. But like,
well, maybe not. Mark, let me just say this. Maybe not, because they won a Super Bowl and they may have felt that they got the best out of Milt Williams and Josh Sweat and Mekhi Becton, who, if they saw Bond get money, might have said, damn, that means I really am probably not going to be back. It's an impossible thing to prove, but right. I do wonder about it.
Yep.
So, all right, Mark, go ahead, pal.
Let me give you my answer. So this guy was born Antone. A bandmate gave him his new nickname. He found his thrill, hopefully not with a cantaloupe, on Blueberry Hill, and that's Fats Domino.
Fats Domino.
Ooh, good one.
Good answer. Fats Domino on Blueberry Hill, which, if I remember, John, I think was a big part of Happy Days.
It was. Right? Richie Cunningham would often sing, I found my thrill.
Yeah. I got to guess Rob Thompson is joining us right now. Probably grew up a big Happy Day. Better have been a big Fonz fan. Good morning to the Phil Skipper, Mr. Rob Thompson. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning. I was a big fan of the Happy Days.
I mean, it was.
Fonzie? Was he your favorite?
Yeah, I mean, the whole crew.
Were you as cool as Fonzie?
I don't think so.
Was anyone? No one was. I agree.
No doubt. All right, so Rob Thompson here, of course, entering now his fourth year as the Phillies manager. Rob, it's great to see you. I mean, we've talked to you many times over the phone, not as many times in person, so it's wonderful to see you.
Great to see you guys.
Lots to discuss here. Let's start with this, just these last 2-3 weeks. How's it going down here? The vibe? What are you feeling about your club? And just what's going on with the guys these days?
Yeah, I'm really happy with where we're at right now, because, knock on wood, we're other than Weston Wilson with the oblique, we've stayed very healthy. And we need to stay that way, obviously. But these guys are working hard. They're getting their work in. We're building innings, not only our pitching, but also the position players are up to 6 innings. I'm really happy with where we're at.
Good. Rob, so, you know, this is our first time talking to you since October.
Yep.
And I want to talk to you a lot more about the next, hopefully, 7 months than 4, 5, 6 months ago. But let's just address it early. One of the things that we wondered as a show and the fan base and the callers is, how does the collection of hitters that had the fifth most runs in baseball, and for the most part have had quality careers, most of these guys, how do they have so many bad at-bats in October? I think a lot of people can deal with, hey, sometimes my team's going to get beat. People understand that. I certainly understand that. But the nature of the at-bats to a lot of us was stunning. How does that happen, and how do you ward that off from happening again?
Well, you know, one thing is that when you get to the playoffs, you're seeing the best pitching. And they had a really good plan against us. It was expand, expand, expand. And, you know, we didn't control the strike zone. So it's one of the things that we're focused on during spring training. It'll be a focus for the entire season, including the playoffs if we get there. So, you know, it's and you're still going to go through stretches during the season where you just don't hit and you don't score runs. It's just – That's just the way it is.
Yeah. Do you feel as though the last three go-rounds,
in the postseason have given you more of a roadmap for what to do to allow the team to peak at the proper time, to prevent the pratfalls of the last few postseasons? Do you have a better roadmap now because of the mixed success of the last three seasons in the post?
Yeah, it's, you know, you're always learning. You're always, every year, every day, you're always learning something. So you think you put some things in your back pocket and you sit on it and you think about it, but it all comes down to momentum. And it's not just momentum. The last month of the season, you got to play well. I've been on Yankee teams that we didn't play well in September, but we won a World Series. I was also on a team with the Yankees that was up 3-0 against the Boston Red Sox and got beat. The momentum changes in a heartbeat, and you just got to ride it when you can.
Sure. We heard Trey Turner talk on the afternoon show about how he's excited about the opportunity to lead off. Will we see him at the top of the lineup?
Well, you will today.
All right. Nice.
I don't know.
Rob Thompson getting ready for his career in professional politics.
Yeah, that was a great answer right there. Well done, sir.
Well, we're still tinkering with it, and I don't know where we're going to end up. You know, one of the thoughts behind leading Trey off is that maybe it changes his approach a little bit, and he thinks about getting on base a little bit more, because he's going to hit 20, 25 home runs just falling out of bed. The other part of it is, if you have Schwarber behind Harp, does that help Harp out a little bit? But at the same time, I don't want to overthink it. You know, we've had a lot of success with the way we've done it in the last couple of years. So, you know, spring training's a good time to just try different things and see what shakes out.
So, Rob, I like to think that, and I may be, James, I may be wrong here, I like to think I have an ability to burrow in and try to unearth truths. All right. So I know you're not going to declare who your leadoff hitter is today. I understand. Here's where I'm going to try. Do you know right now who you prefer wins the job?
I do not, to tell you the truth.
Okay.
I want to put the best lineup out there that gives us the best chance to score the most runs.
Mm-hmm. If Trey leads off, would Bryce Harper be the two-hole hitter?
Yes.
Has to be, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
How much? Wow. Okay.
Yeah, it has to be.
That is interesting.
Yeah. Rob Thompson with us here on WIP. Rob, let's talk about some other configuration issues. So one of the things that's come up a lot in the offseason is a lot of conversation on our show of, if players are moved to different positions, it could open up more possibilities for Dave Dombrowski. Bryce Harper back to the outfield, Trey Turner to center field, things of that nature. When it comes to who plays where, is your style more that you ask them where they want to play, or in the end you tell them where they will play?
Yeah, I think there's definitely a conversation, but I have the final say on who's going to play where. You know, the whole Harper thing came up. I think basically what he was saying was he'll play anywhere we want him to play if it helps the team. And I think that's where that all stemmed from.
Do you think Trey's of the same mindset?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I do.
I'm a huge Bryson Stott fan. Last year, and I was almost relieved to find out in a strange way that he was banged up last season. What do you expect from him in terms of the bounce back?
Yeah, I expect him to be more like the 2022-2023 guy. He hasn't had that elbow problem so far this spring. He hasn't hyperextended that elbow, and that's really where it came from, was just a swing and a miss, and he hyperextended it and never really got healthy. But, and he's having great at-bats down here right now. So I think he's back to where he was.
So Alec Bohm last season, it was a struggle, got benched. There were trade talks in the offseason. How is his mindset now?
Tremendous. I mean, he came into camp with a great attitude. He's having a lot of fun. He's very open and speaking a lot, communicating a lot. I think he's really locked in.
We, just like the leadoff spot, we like to talk closer. Also, are you looking at the closer spot? Would you like to find and settle on a closer?
It would be nice. It certainly makes it easier from a managing standpoint to know that guy's got the ninth inning. You've got two left-handers and two right-handers that can get you from the sixth to the eighth through the eighth. But at the same time, we've had a lot of success with the way we're doing it, with filling that hole with pocket guys, you know, whoever that may be, Alvarado, Romano, Kirkering, Strom. We've got enough guys with enough power to be able to mix and match from sixth through the ninth. So right now I think that's where we're at. And if somebody steps up and shows us that, okay, he's a closer, he can get righties out, he can get lefties out, then we'll go that way.
Rob Thompson with us here on WIP as we broadcast from Philly Spring Training. Reminder, our coverage brought to you today and tomorrow, as both days we're here, brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka, proud partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. So, Rob, Andrew Painter, everyone's excited to see him. Is June, July a reasonable time frame for people to put in their minds when he'd be most likely to join the club? And what role do you envision him playing in his first year with the team, if he makes it to the big leagues?
Yeah, the key is health, one, and is he pitching well? And we've, as an organization, we're using the word July-ish. because we don't want to put a definitive date on it, because then everybody says, okay, if he's not ready by that date, what's wrong with him? It's something, you know, everybody kind of panics. But, and most definitely he'd be one of our starters, excuse me, and we'd probably have to go to a six-man rotation at that point. If everybody else is
healthy. Sure. So, you know, one of the things that's incredible is if everyone were to stay healthy and you make the playoffs, you'd have an array of arms that would be options for four starters in October, and then at least two guys would go to the bullpen, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's really an amazing thing. I robbed the bullpen last year. Incredible. Until it wasn't.
Yeah.
I was stunned at the October thing.
Yeah.
Because, my God, you're talking about guys that have given you so much for 6 months, in some cases a couple of years. I was told by someone the team was more injured than the team let on, and that was part of performances struggling. Is that true?
That is not true. I thought we were very healthy going into the playoffs. I think, you know, Stott's elbow was still bothering him a little bit. I think Alec Bohm's hand was still bothering him. He didn't want to admit to it. These guys are tough guys, and they want to play. But I don't think that there was any issue with any of our bullpen guys. I think we just, you know, they swung the bats. They had good bats against us, and we didn't execute.
So, Rob, one of the things, and when we talk to Kyle Schwarber tomorrow, maybe this is best with him as a player, but I'm curious, trying to climb into the psyche of the squad. For 3 years, it felt kind of like a magic carpet ride, as I perceived it, with regard to the town's love of the players and belief in the players and enjoyment of what really had been some very special runs, 22 and 23 postseason, until you met resistance near the end. How are they, from a mindset standpoint, dealing with now being criticized more than they had been and doubted more than they had been? How are they dealing with that? And how do you as a leader help them navigate that? Obviously in a city in Philadelphia, which with New York and Boston are probably the three hardest media towns and fan towns in America, how are they psychologically dealing with that and your role in helping them?
Well, my comment to that all the time to the players is you can't control it. And it's a great place to be when there's a lot of expectations on you. It means you're pretty good and people expect a lot out of you. And you have to be able to deal with that, and you can't control that. All you can control is what you do today, how you prepare, how you compete, how you stay locked in. And then, you know, these people that come to the ballpark, they pay a lot of money to come see you play, and they're paying your salary. And if you're not playing well, they've got the right to let you know. And when you're playing well, they'll let you know about that.
That's
too.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So you got to deal with it.
I've been trying to tell people for 4 or 5 months since the season ended, it's really hard to win the World Series.
Yeah.
I remember Kyle saying it was last year in this room, the words he said were, it's really hard to win. And, you know, I'm struck by a player like him who's made the playoffs almost every year in his career. He won one World Series. What does that mean? It means all the other years he didn't. And I found the town's reaction. Look, I get the reaction to a bad series. That was a horrible series. But my personal opinion, and James, you know I've been saying this for months.
Yep.
I think the town, Rob, came down too hard on you. I'm being honest. Because a 95 win, listen, the Dodgers, the Braves, the Mets, the Phillies, the Yankees, the Astros, et cetera. Only one of them is going to win. I'm not trying to let you off the hook, but I'm saying to the audience listening, I think it's harder to win than people perceive.
Rob, what do you say to people? We look at the other contenders in the NL and say, well, they've done more than the Phillies have this offseason. What do you say to people who say the Phillies haven't done enough this offseason?
I say I think maybe those other teams need to do a little bit more. We're pretty good. I mean, we're a good club. And going into the offseason, we were, you know, we weren't trying to upset the apple cart or anything like that. But if a good deal came along, we'd probably jump on it. But really, we needed to shore up just around the edges of the ball club. And I think with Lizardo and Romano and Joe Ross and Max Kepler, I think we did exactly that. I think Dave and the front office did a great job with, because we're really good. We're really talented. And now we just got to go out and play and show it.
Rob, I want to go back to the what Joe was just talking about with the mindset of the players, but in a different perspective. On the World Series or bust thing, I mean, last year it was a lot of talk heading into the season, like, we're ready to win it all. That's our focus. And it's always the focus. But you guys didn't, and it's been 3 years of kind of that same goal of it's all about winning it all. How do you, and we haven't heard players talk that way this preseason. Has that been a purposeful thing, and how do you manage those expectations when you've come up short the last 3 years for that ultimate goal?
Yeah, I think that it's always the same mindset coming into spring training, especially with a talented club like this, is that the goal is to win a world championship, and that's I mean, I've been in this game 40 years. This is my 40th spring training, and a lot of them with the Yankees and now here. And my mindset's always been, if you don't win a world championship, you didn't win anything.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's just the way it is, and I think that's the way all our players think.
Rob, how do you get more out of Brandon Marsh this year? He's going to play a lot. He's a still somewhat developing player, but I think a lot of people think it's time that he is more consistent. How do you get that from him?
I think just reps, and I think he's seeing a lot of left-handed pitching here in spring training, and he's doing a pretty good job. So I'd like to give him a pretty good run at playing every day if we can. But he's such a great athlete, and I hope he realizes how great of an athlete he is and how great of a player and potential superstar he could be, because if he thinks that way, he's got a better chance to get in there, and he can do a lot of different things. He looks really good right now, and I just hope he keeps going. But they're working on a lot of stuff, and I think the second part of the season last year is pretty good. The last 2 months against left-handed pitching, he was really good. He's got that. He took the Kyle Schwarber kind of approach that Schwarb took last year, is that, you know, think about left center field, stay low to left, and if you're going to pull the ball, get high in right field and hit some home runs, and that's where they're going to come from. But I think he's got the chance to be a great player.
Rob, what about your mindset with Bryson Stott versus left-handed pitching, which as the season went on last year, you primarily moved off of a lot of Sosa. In game four, you went to Stott versus lefty, but for the most part, you hadn't. Do you want to see him do that more early this year to develop that and see what he's got?
Playing more against lefty?
Yes,
I do. Because in the past, he's hit left-handed pitching. Did the elbow affect him last year against left-handed pitching? Maybe a little bit, but I think it affected him against right or left-handed pitching. But I do think he's an everyday player, and I think he can hit left-hand.
Is giving JT more either off days or days not catching but playing a different position or even DHing, is that somewhat of a priority?
I think so. I think JT's in great shape and he's a great athlete, but I think some extra days off, and I'm not talking about, you know, playing half the games or anything like that, but I think a few extra days off would help him.
Will he be cool with that? JT always wants to play every day, right?
Yeah, he loves to play every day, and sometimes it's almost a fist fight, and I'm just joking about that, but you know what I'm talking about. But you know, there's always conversations and how he's feeling, and JT's usually pretty straight with me, and he lets me know if he needs a day, and he understands the travel, and we try to work around his off days on a natural off day, you know, taking a Sunday off when we know the club has Monday off, or having the Tuesday off after a Monday off day. So But I do think that having a few extra days off would benefit him.
Rob Thompson here. A couple final questions with Rob Thompson, Phillies manager, entering year four, obviously, in his tenure with the Phils. So, Zach Wheeler, you know, like we were talking a few weeks ago about who's the best player in Philly sports, and it's debatable because you got all these Eagles. You had Joel until, you know, his knee just fell apart. But, look, Bryce Harper, obviously. Zach Wheeler, Rob, I mean, it feels to me like he may be getting closer to the Hall of Fame, and what he and he's got some years to go, but what he has done for you. Like, you guys have never lost in the postseason because of him.
Yeah.
The guy is unbelievable.
He really is. The combination of power and command, you don't see that all the time. You know, there's a lot of guys with power in the game right now, power arms, but they can't command the baseball like he can. And, you know, he's honed his skills over the years and added a pitch. He had a splitter last year. He added a cutter the year before. And he's got command with all of his pitches. He's just – and he doesn't have a heartbeat. He just – he's a phenomenal person and phenomenal pitcher.
All right, final thing here with Rob Thompson. Rob, you obviously famously for many years were with the New York Yankees. It's as hardcore as it gets. George Steinbrenner, we all know that. Joe Torre won four and ultimately got fired. Number of years later, but 1980, it was certainly established by Rulli Carpenter, and you know, Bo and others have talked about this through the years. Guys, I need it from you this year, or there are going to be changes. Like, it's just, it was said, it was established. Do you feel, and I'm struck in particular with someone like Kyle Schwarber, team leader, with 1 year left on his deal, not extended in the offseason, do you feel that this team either has to win it all or make a deep run, or things could really look different next year?
Yeah, you know, I really don't think of it that way. I really don't. I think that this organization's in a great spot. I really do. We have good players at the major league level, and we've got some high-end prospects coming. But my focus always is, what are we doing today? And let's take care of today. We can't worry about tomorrow. We can't worry about yesterday. We worry about today because that's what we can control. And I don't worry. Dave's calling me.
Oh, no big deal.
You know, I mean, he must be
that.
Listening, you know, on the radio.
You know what he just said? Make sure you win the last game of the season. Hey, Rob, we're looking forward to the season. We really are. I mean, we love following your club. It's provided a lot of thrills in recent years. We hope, to use a Rocky term, you go the distance this year. Of course, Rocky went the distance in Rocky 1 and lost, but we hope you go the distance.
Rocky 2, Joe.
Rocky 2 style this year.
Rocky 3, Rocky 4,
yeah.
5. Rob, we look forward to seeing the season, and good luck to you and your club this
year. Appreciate you guys. Thank you for joining us.
There he is, Phillies manager Rob Thompson. As we get closer to the start of the season, as James said earlier in the program, believe it or not, the start of the Philly season, believe it or not, is actually now closer to the end of the Eagle season. So we really are getting close. 3 weeks away today to opening day, and then 3.5 weeks from the home opener. Reminder, it starts in March now with the way they changed the baseball schedule a few years ago. So we are getting close. All right, you can react to that interview at 215-592-9494. Reminder for you, spring training coverage here is brought to us by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka, proud partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. All right, a lot going on from a discussion standpoint. It includes the Zach Bond signing, which obviously was big money. It really was. That was more than I expected. 3 years for Zach Bond at $51 million. And this is kind of what and I'll use the word fear. This is kind of what I feared about 2 months ago or a month ago when it was like, hey, he's going to get so much money, it's going to make it hard to keep the other guys. And let me be clear, I'm glad he got the money, and I'm glad how he did it, and I would have done it too.
They didn't break the bank, though. I mean,
no,
he's like the fifth high. He didn't get Roquan Swift money.
No, but they're paying everybody. I mean, like $17 million for a linebacker when you're paying, you know, $25 million for a receiver, $30 million for another receiver, $30 million for a quarter, or $50 million for a quarter. Like, it's just at a certain point, like, I get that it doesn't seem like it ever stops Howie, but at a certain point, like, something has to hit the wall, right?
I'm a little annoyed at myself because I was like a sheep the last 2-3 weeks. I followed what people said when they said, he's not going to get that much. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I guess not. He's 29, he's an inside linebacker. He got paid, guys. He got paid. Which
because
is,
he deserved.
He does.
Yes, he did. No doubt.
Nobody disputes
that. And it's a good thing. And he's happy.
And
well, it's a good thing he's back, but wouldn't you rather have come back at $10 million a year? Right, I mean, right. You know?
Yeah, I mean, it's what it is.
The salary cap goes up every year. We were surprised it went up $29 million this year.
Well, get ready for next week because they're going to lose a lot of players. And I'm not being a Debbie Downer. It's just a fact. They're going to lose players.
Okay.
Let's go to the phones. 2-1.
They planned for it, and I love the players that we're keeping. I
do, too.
I love everyone.
I happen to love the players that are going to lose. I mean, Josh Sweat almost won Super Bowl MVP, and Milton Williams.
And we're not expecting either will be back.
No. No.
Yeah, I mean, those guys had 4.5 combined sacks in the Super Bowl and a forced fumble. It's pretty good.
That's really good. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's go to the phones, talk to JP in Plymouth Meeting. Good morning, JP.
Hey. Good morning, guys. How's it going? I hope you guys are having a great week.
Thanks, JP. Yeah.
I got a text message yesterday that, like, Eagle signed Zach, and I was so excited. But, Joe DeCamera, you're right. Like, just because they signed him, I'm expecting a lot of players to go.
Oh, for sure.
I'm still riding that high. The Phillies, I agree with you guys. Like, I think Schwarber should lead off because that's not going to change anything. It didn't change anything during the playoffs. Like, Schwarber still did a great job. It was a bunch of factors. You guys made me change my answer. You guys made me see the way real quick a couple weeks ago.
Well, normally, I'll say this, JP, and there's been a lot of studies, scientific studies on this. Normally, when people follow my advice, they're on the right track in the world. So if I said it, take it to the bank! Except when I lose and beat the Hammer, and it doesn't happen that often. All right, go ahead, JP.
So yeah, I think they should stick with Schwarber. Like, I don't think, like, you know, putting Trey Turner in the leadoff is going to help you win more games. You won 90 like some games last season. It's the playoffs. That's what you have to get past. And it seems like each year they're digressing. They go from World Series to National League.
Yeah.
But I'm excited. Like I said, I'm starting to get in. I told you guys, I'm spring training. I kind of like get in the back seat a little bit, but. I was listening to Ralph Thompson. I'm getting ready to hop over the front seat. I'm getting excited.
All right, JP, give me an answer for the Eric Clapton tickets. Best nickname ever.
So I got to go with Daryl Dawkins and Chocolate Thunder.
It's a great one.
It's a big one.
It is.
Really is.
We've had a really high percentage of strong nicknames in Philadelphia throughout the years. I know that, you know, like a lot of cities have great nicknames, but I do think we're on the high end of nicknames.
And you don't want to say them because you want to leave them.
Of course not. Yeah. I'm leaving on the table. I'm just saying, you know,
can I just
a lot of good ones.
Let me just drop this in. I am going to take a great one, but I'm going to take it by way of just giving a little anecdote.
Okay.
Dr. J.
Oh, that's a big one. Yeah. Big.
The nickname Dr. J was how the book that I have written that will come out in the fall was conceived. I wrote the book because of a conversation about the nickname Dr. J.
Get out of here.
That's a fact.
So it's a book about doctors. Who'd thunk it? Joe writing a medical journal
something. I'm just saying.
I didn't see this coming. Of all the things you could write about.
Because I'm still not ready to unleash.
Is it Science Corner with Joe DeCamera?
I'm not ready to unleash the topic. All I can tell you is the concept of the book came from a conversation about Dr. J's nickname.
Mm. All right, everyone, start trying to guess what it is.
let's go to the phones. Ed in Phoenixville. Ed, good morning.
Good morning. Happy Zach Bond Day.
Yeah.
I would like to thank, first and foremost, Jeffrey Lurie's checkbook for making most of this maneuvering possible.
Well said.
You always got to be leery with, you know, contract data, especially as soon as it's signed. But from what I've seen, it seems as though, like, the cap hit on the Bond deal in the first 2 years is pretty reasonable. So it, you know, gives them some flexibility there. I just don't know if, like, the room that we're clearing with the Slay move, the Barkley extension, is really going to give us a lot of flexibility other than re-signing our current guys down the road, which is really important. But
very important.
I think it was a good balance of, you know, it seems like it's effectively a two-year deal in terms of how the guaranteed money spread out. And it's smart given that he's 28, going to be 29 going into this year. Like, you're going to get two amazing years out of Zach Bond, pretty much barring injury. So, yeah, I think it was a fair contract. It seems like a lot of money, but then again, it's Jeffrey Lurie's checkbook, not my paltry one, so let's go.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, Ed, on that. All right, Ed, give me an answer for a nickname.
Babe Ruth.
Yeah. Boy, you're not getting. That's a big one for sure. No doubt about it. All right, 215-592-9494. Speaking of answers, I need an answer from you guys. Jalen Hurts' day yesterday.
Yes.
Rhea, how did it go from your perspective as it relates to how it went for me?
What a question. To be honest, I was on a plane for most of it.
I'm sorry. My flight was at
6:52, and I landed around 10 a.m.
My fault.
I was going on to Twitter to try to read some of the reactions.
All right, John,
to it.
You were there. I was going to say
inadequate.
Here, but we.
I'm not surprised.
And I'm asking this to everyone at 215-592-9494. If you heard our show yesterday, did the audience get me enough? And how did I handle it? John, you're crack.
Yeah, I was dismayed. it really was the first half of the show where...
oh, Joe, you're so great. I wish you liked Hurts more, but you're great.
Why did that happen? Why
they haven't caught up being like, oh.
For 2 hours, people wanted to say, Joe, I love you when you do this, 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 and this, but...
Be nicer to Jalen, but you're great, Joe. Like, what?
Yeah. I'm so glad I was on a plane.
Who deserves
second
to get
half of
reprimanded.
The show, people brought it a little more. I think it was like... A few callers. I think a few callers did a good job, but it was too light on you.
I did feel.
And how did you handle it? Fine. No one came at you. There were a couple. Shout out to Archie, Donna. There were a couple.
All right, 215-592-9494. All right, let's listen to Ian Rappaport. So you can weigh in on the Hurts day and react to that. Rob Thompson certainly can react to that interview. Reminder, Dave Dombrowski will be with us coming up in an hour and a half, 9:30 today. Phillies, what's the title?
President of Baseball.
I just call him the president.
Yeah. I think he's the president of baseball.
President of baseball.
You were getting Howie and Dave mixed up.
All right,
could we just call them general managers, guys?
I know.